Blog Talk Radio.
Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about some real talk radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls, a how they talk show. Real talk at the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin'. Music got me hoppin'. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, I'm in the zone.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, you know it's on.
Let's talk about something. Real talk radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls, a how they talk show. Real talk at the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it popping. Music got me hopping. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, I'm in the zone.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, you know it's on.
Let's talk about something. Real talk radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls, a how they talk show. Real talk at the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it popping. Music got me hopping. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, I'm in the zone.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport.
Real talk
with Dr. Davenport. Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, you know it's on.
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you for joining me for another riveting edition of Live with Dr. D. This is the return, I guess, in a sense, of this November. Today is October, as a matter of fact, the 27th, 2016. I am he, Dr. D, riding solo. Thanks for tuning in. Just a couple of things I felt that I needed to address in this blog fashion, if you will, this blog edition. Of Real Talk, a Live with Dr. D, with so many things on the horizon, so many things going on, and we've been in the midst of a shift of a holiday season and seasonal change. It is good to have some focus, to get some clarity on where we are and so forth and so on. So I want to come on and just give my spiel, if you will, on today. Call-in number, if you listen online, is the 619-924-9725. That's the guest call-in number, 619-924-9725. That's a new number they kind of just put on me, but we're going to roll with that today. And I guess I'll start today with, the state of churchdom, if you will, and how we have really shifted. And this is not new commentary, just my comments on it. Have we really shifted our focus from discipleship or making disciples of Christ to developing good teams, if you will, just having an entourage or the entourage effect, the trappings of being big. You know, we got, 30 members and 19 armor bearers. And it is a problem because the image is off and definitely takes our focus off where you would think it should be. But how we got there is really funny to me. In my few years on this planet, in my few years being saved, sanctified, and filled with God's precious Holy Ghost, how we got to where we are is murky. Pastoring is a lonely job. It is a lonely job. It's a thankless job. And true appreciation for the worker in the work is few and far between. It can be lonely even while married. It is a job of isolation before we care for the charge that God has gifted us to. God has given the pastor to the people, and not the people to the pastor. So dealing with our individual struggles, the struggles of man in the job, trying to live holy, trying to live right because we want to see Jesus over there, so we're trying to get right and go home. Dealing with that struggle internally, living in contrast with the environment that we live in, and even in our homes, trying to, if you're married, two flesh becoming one, dealing with having children and a family structure. And then you're inundated with, your family come before your ministry, and ministry and God sometimes are the same but yet separate, and God is first, but ministry comes, dealing with all these things, it becomes a burden and a weight, although that's redundant. It becomes a stumbling block if you let it, and it will drain you totally. So what happens is, because we're not getting the right type of help, this ain't people opening doors, this just isn't people collecting your offering, this is not even the person who has humbled themselves to want to hold an umbrella over your head while you go to the car. But one of the things that we see the evidence of, but not cause much solution for, is when we let our mental health decline. We're good on not eating the greens and the fried chicken, which is delicious. The greens and fried chicken are both delicious when prepared properly. But we're good at going to the gym and working on my temple. Well, that belly fat that you're trying to push off and get rid of is going to pass away like the mortal flesh that we wear. But we work on our temple, but not our mental temple, not our mind. When our mind gets weak, and I'm still talking about how we get to the point where you can have a small church with 30 members and have 19 armor bearers. You look around and you hear people talk, and because there's celebrity in the gospel now, everybody wants to be big, everybody wants to be a name, because everybody's teaching a different Jesus than the one that's in the Bible seemingly. You look for ways to feel successful, and that's how it comes about. So you turn on the TV or the radio, and you hear people talk. You look for ways to show that you are successful. And these things come about and come up, and we give ourselves over to them. I mean, having people support you, your mentality will say, well, if people are supporting you, then you're worth supporting. And so we begin to put our worth in the people around us. The people that we're supposed to be leading are the ones that actually begin to lead us, because now we feel deficient. We feel that we can't succeed, and we feel like we're wasting our time if the people are not catering to us, for lack of a better term. I use the term catering, the word catering, lack of a better term. So now we have to emulate the appearance, emulate the image of what we deem to be successful. And so now our growth is predicated on what other people can see about us or in us. And the more we put our efforts and our interest in our outward appearance, it's no different between the lust of the flesh and the call of the spirit. Once we as leaders, as church heads, put the interest of people and what people see above everything else, then our internal mindset, our internal drive, convictions, commitments to begin to fall short. Because now I don't care if I'm still conquering my demons. I don't care if you're conquering yours. Just make sure your butt is in a seat so that when we broadcast or when people come in and visit or we fellowship, they can see that the preacher has folk around. You can go back home and live any type of way you want. You don't have to live right as long as you put a butt in a seat. And what happens is we begin to preach just to fill seats, to fill coffers. I'm not going to just say that people preach for money. I'm not going to say that because although that is true, when you're talking about a leader that's been bleeding while leading, money isn't always the answer. Sometimes they just want to feel loved. And in feeling love, we don't want to alienate people. And so our message will get soft. Our convictions will weaken. And that's how we get to a place where we don't really care about kingdom building. When I say kingdom building, I'm not talking about planting churches and ministries. I'm not talking about building fellowship. That's not what I'm referring to. When I'm talking about kingdom building, I'm talking about each individual soul getting blood washed and redeemed with a renewed mind to follow Christ as he so dictated, not just in the outward appearance of paying tithes, which is biblical. Don't fool yourself. Paying tithes is biblical, and it predated the law. So it can't say that, oh, well, the law said law's passed away, so is tithes. That's not biblically accurate. But to suffer ourselves for someone else, to love on each other, to love others and esteem others above ourselves, to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, these are the ways that we follow Christ, so that our light can so shine before men, not for men, but before men. Our light can shine before men. Again, not for man, but before men, so that when they look upon us, they see Christ. But it comes from, again, the trappings of what the world says are successful ministries. And that's a dangerous yet true statement. We look at what the world says as a successful church or a successful Christian ministry, and then we try to meet the edicts and standards of the world. Well, that's backwards on every hand, but because, and here's the next part, because of, as I mentioned, the celebrity of gospel, because everybody got to be the big, everybody got to be in charge, everybody got to be the head. There has to be one star, and everybody else is just cannon fodder or entourage, not necessarily staff, because the star has a staff. The star has an armor bearer and an adjutant and a wife or a spouse, I can say spouse, and they have their own set of staff with them too. And then there are folk along for the ride. And the folk in along for the ride can also preach, they can teach, they're anointed, they're gifted, they suffer through some things, they're qualified by God with the anointing they carry, but on this particular night, they're just entourage. And because there's entourage, there's no genuine fellowship anymore. I don't know if it's true for you all tonight or today, this morning. It's 10:13 a.m. Eastern Standard. But I've noticed a change in church fellowship. Not only have church fellowshipping decreased, but now we got to a place where the leader, the pastor, feels more comfortable going alone than with his church. And I've asked some senior pastors that I know, as well as some, you know, in my range of experience, and even some younger, why that is. And it's been, well, I don't take my church out anymore because they won't go. Have an outing and they won't go. And I'm sure there are a lot of different reasons for that. A lot I don't want to get into in this particular broadcast, why church don't want to follow the leaders out. But my thing is this, that we will go, leaders will go on their own. And that perfectly violates the mission of fellowship, because we're supposed to come together jointly, fit it together, right? When the body of Christ becomes one, we can't do that if we never connect. And we don't want to connect because we're so afraid of folks looking down on our congregation. Well, y'all don't do it like we do it. Well, you know, I don't have the people you have. Or y'all don't sing like we sing. Well, you know what? You got some college-educated, musically inclined individuals at your church where at ours, we got some folk who are just willing. Amen. Amen. Remember, anybody remember willing folk? Just willing. I'll help. I'll do it. Somebody remember willing folk? Folk who would just work. I'm on a tangent now. Folk that would just go out and work without having a title, getting paid, and they did it for the joy of doing it. They wanted to be a benefit and a help to the leader or a benefit or help to the church, and they did it unto God. Yeah, I remember them type of folk who just wanted to show up, stay late because they got a joy out of being used in God's house. Those are some good people. And I'm sure they're still out there somewhere. I digress from that. I digress. So anyway, the celebrity of the gospel is what's killing us in the body of Christ because we don't want to come together anymore. And that's what I love. I love genuine fellowship. When you get one or two churches together at the same time and there's a set person who's going to bring the word, of course, there's an order structure. Listen, structure precedes glory. There has to be order. Don't fool yourself. There has to be order. That's so religious. You might understand what the word religious means. You know, you religiously go to work every day. You religiously wash your behind. We do all kinds of stuff religiously. That's repetitively. That's the truth. Amen. You should love your spouse religiously. So don't try to make the term religion bad when it comes to serving God. Well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. What does that mean? Because if that was true in the sense that you mean it, you wouldn't even make that difference. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. So give us life, depending on what version of the Bible you read when you read that particular passage, a particular verse. But my point is we're so busy, watch this, trying to defend our walk amongst other believers. Hey, I'm going to say that again. We're so busy trying to defend our walk amongst other believers and the naysayers, the anti-God people, the folks that are not saved. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, if your gospel is hid, it's hid from them who don't know. They're going to be lost because we're so busy trying to convince each other that we love God too. We love Jesus too. And we're fighting that fight inside the church and folk walking by here and all the calamity going on inside the walls. And they're like, you know what? I'm not going to be a part of that. And so that's where discipleship goes out because there's nobody to disciple. If folk ain't coming, if folk ain't in, then they can't be coming in. Praise the Most High God. So I want to move on to this. Praise God. I want to move on to this. Just the mentality of what I'm saying and how it permeates and perpetuates throughout our society. This identity crisis. You got the wounded leader who's, you know, leading while bleeding and mental health is falling and can't really get any help because nobody seems to truly understand. And you got people who are in the work for the fame of it. I failed in every other vocation I've ever attempted to be employed in, so now I'm being a pastor. God called me to preach. And then since God called me to preach, then he called me to pastor, as if they're one and the same, and they're not. Now we are so inundated with misinformation that it affected everything else. And what I mean by that is about the misinformation. And this is where I'll get in trouble. And what, 2 weeks, America will cast its popular vote for the next president of the United States. And I chose my words wisely in that statement because it's the truth. In about 2 weeks, America will cast its popular vote for the next president of the United States. For the uninitiated or the uninclined, those who not have civics in high school or social studies back in the day, in November, America, as far as the popular vote goes, will not elect the President of the United States. There's some down ticket races, Senate races, House races. There's some gubernatorial races going on, and America's voice will be heard in those elections. But we will have the opportunity to cast our vote for the president, and we will tell the country who America feels, actually we will tell the world, who America feels should be the president by our popular vote. And you have to understand that it is a popularity contest. To understand the nature of the job of the president, from a functionality point of view and from a constitutional point of view, is very important when trying to decide who the next, and I love this handle, who the next leader of the free world will be. Constitutionally, the president was really put in position to handle foreign policy and foreign affairs. Congress was really supposed to handle the internal or local or the national politics and governing of America. That's what a republic is. A republic, and I guess I need to say this too, just for those who don't understand that, we live in a republic that practices democracy. We do not live in a democracy. By definition, it's a society where the general body, the people, elect a few to lead them. So we select a few people, our governors, our mayors, but more importantly, our senators and congressional people, and we trust them to make decisions in our best interest, okay? Now, I know that the Donald has been saying some very controversial things as of late. I understand that he's put his foot in his mouth a couple of times, and people don't like the Donald. Also, Secretary Clinton has said some things that she's backtracked on. She has made some allegations that found to be false. And so a lot of people, and it really comes down to what folk believe Democrats or Republicans should be, they really believe that the Secretary Clinton would be a better president. And mostly because we have believed what the media has told us and wanted us to remember about her husband, President Clinton. The reality of it is there's something odd about this election. It is true that all five current living former presidents, none of them are supporting Donald Trump, as Democrats and Republicans alike. None of the former or current living former presidents are supporting the Donald. All of the career politicians, Republican and Democrat, aren't supporting the Donald. My thing is this, and I am not what you would call a conspiracist. I do believe there are some things that are true that we consider to be conspiracy theories, but I myself are not a conspiracist. I don't believe I don't believe everything that people say. I really believe in trying to weigh things out. But there is some evidence, there is a thought process out there that says that there is a shadow government, right? They're the good old boys network, these phrases, the Illuminati, these things like that, that the president actually works for. And that there's a system in place on top of the system that you and I live a part of. And they want to keep the thing going. They want to keep the power going. There's a plan made way back when to bring certain things to pass, and it's, the plan is still working today. From depopulation of the earth to the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, all those things. Here's my thing. Why wouldn't the rich, the ultra wealthy, want Donald Trump to be in office. Why? Well, because he's going to be there. You do understand that there's safeguards in place that stop the president from doing all type of things. I just watched a clip. You can watch this yourself. President Barack Obama was on Jimmy Kimmel. Was it last year, whatever, whenever it was. And in that, he made a comment. He said he's not allowed to drive. He tells a story that one of the staffers that worked for him a couple of years ago had an electric car, and he brought it to the West. He brought it to the White House, and Barack Obama saw it and whatever. Said, "Let's go for a ride." He talks about how he took the keys. He drove around in a circle around the south lawn of the White House, and Secret Service was going crazy. Then he said he's not allowed to drive. Now, if the man is not allowed to drive a car around the White House for national security reasons, we can understand that. My point is, if he's not allowed to drive the car, there are certain other things that he is not allowed to do. There's communication. There has to be some communication back and forth. And the president has the ability to sign executive orders. But those executive orders can always be rescinded. Okay? And what I'm trying to say is, I think it's more to it than the fact that you think Donald Trump will be bad for business. I think, and I'm not saying vote for the Donald. I'm not telling you to vote for whoever you want. Listen, vote for me. I'm writing myself in. Vote for me. But there's something more to what we're being told. There's a reason why they don't want him to be in. And I think that one of the reasons why they don't want Trump in is because Trump breaks the mold. See, yes, President Obama, some say was the first black president, but they've now tried to discover evidence. I don't know how true it is that there were other presidents that were black. And even though some folk who think they're awake, they tell you everybody was black. The sun in the sky is not yellow, it's black. Just listen to some folk. That's just the reality of it. And I'm sorry, not trying to be offensive, but that's true. You got to be careful who you listen to. Even listening to me, you know, you have to take what I say, research it for yourself, you know, because I can be just saying anything, which a lot of people do. I'm not, but that's just the reality of it. I think if people understood, well, what I want to say about President Obama is he has political ties. How many black people you know go to Harvard and be, you know, friends of the Harvard Law Review? And I'm not knocking a man for his education. I'm not. I thank God that he gave hope for millions of Americans. Think about it like this. When I came up, as I grew up into this world, in this country, and this is this point on that, when I grew up in this world, in the country, I had no idea that anybody, an older white man, could be president. Because that's all I ever saw. All my history books ever told me. When William Jefferson Clinton became president, he was a little younger. So that was like, great. But do you realize there have been thousands upon children born in the last 10 years? Okay? Last 10 years or so. Eight for sure. Let's go eight because that's even money. That will never know anything to the point of, well, the president can only be this group of people or this gender. They will never have that in their hookup. They will never have that in their mind that the president can only be a white man. Why? Because when they were born, a black man was president and a woman is running now, and it's possible that a woman will be president in their lifetime as well. So the glass ceiling in that area has been shattered, okay? Things have progressed in that area. But on the same token, both President Obama and Secretary Clinton have political ties through their family. They have ties all around the country and the rest of the world. Trump doesn't. He doesn't. He's not one of them. He ain't one of us either. Who was us? Well, he ain't one of my family members. I'll tell you that right now. Praise God. Amen. But what I'm saying is, and my point in my long little spiel here, my point is, you have to do some research. You have to look past the imagery that society is putting out. We have to look at the why. There's a why to everything. Why is it really that all these career politicians don't want Trump? Why would they turn their back on him? I mean, he's a white man. He's rich. You would think he would fit the bill. Normally, they would put a vice president with him that they can control, knowing they're going to have some control over him anyway. You know, there's something more to it. I can understand why they want Hillary. She's a woman. And just some, here's the reality. It's 2016, and as many technological advances a man has made, as much growth and acceptance that man has seemingly acquired, some folks are just still anti-women. I got to get out of here. My time is up. But I'll say that there are folk in the church right now who are perplexed because they don't believe in a woman preaching. They don't believe in women. I'm going there. They don't believe in women preachers or women ministers. But they don't want to vote for Donald Trump. So now they're forced to vote for Hillary, who's a woman. How do you go and tell your congregation that God can't call a woman to preach but can make a woman president? Oh, God. That's it right there. That's it. That's real talk on Dr. D. This is live. You know what? I'm going to end on that note. I'm going to say it again. How can you tell folks that God had never put a woman in ministry, but you're going to bless one and be the president of the United States? Good God Almighty. And one more time.